Earth. I ate much slower than ever before, the complexities of this essence eluding my slavering tongue until I discovered the trick of it. Breaking the complex essence down to its elemental form, separating it into its basic essence, finally absorbing it in a sweet and fulfilling rush. The flavor was so wonderfully potent that I was nearly unable to hear Danny when she started to talk to me.
You made it! That is surprising. It only took you a few days.
That long? It felt like such a short time. I was still focused on the essence I was acquiring, only listening to her with half an ear.
Well, that isn't surprising now, is it? Time doesn't have the same effect on us as it does other living things,
Danny explained.
By the way, how do you feel now with your essence?
Turning my attention inward, it was obvious that the energy in me was less than it had been, but not nearly the amount that I had feared it would be. The tiny amount of the mushroom's overall energy had replaced this much? Surprised by this development, I told Danny.
That is great! It means that although you are unique in many ways, my knowledge isn't entirely useless!
She boasted with a wink that consisted of her light dimming and shining in a strobe-like way.
As the range of your influence increases, the essence of the world will passively flow to you, very slowly filling your core to replace what you use. Obviously, it is far slower than actively pulling the energy to yourself, but as your range grows, so will the passive essence influx. Eventually, you may not even need to pull essence to increase in ranking.
This is great! By the way, have you ever had mushrooms before? Those white ones are safe for you to eat, I promised her, feeling happy now that I was gaining sustenance again.
I don't need to eat. The energy you provide me with directly fulfills those needs, she assured me. How is that essence, by the way? You having any trouble with it?
Why would I be? I retorted, slurping in a long stream of earth essence.
Well, that is a more complex essence is all, she told me carefully. It is intrinsically combined earth and water essence, right? That is known as mud essence, and is notoriously hard to cultivate from.
Oh, well, it didn't want to separate right away, but it got the hang of it, I assured her, not stopping my gorging.
You are going to be the most amazing dungeon ever. I just know it.
Danny then looked at the quickly wilting stalks of the mushrooms I was pulling essence from.
Hey, you want to learn how to grow more of those?
Yes, please. More would be good, much more. She looked at me oddly.
I thought you would be more excited than this.
Zipping over to me, she looked at my essence.
G-rank 5 already? This is wonderful. You are growing so well and so fast,
she murmured, almost with concern. I want to know how you can tell my ranking, but first, those mushrooms? The ones I was gnawing on were going to die soon if I did nothing to spread out the drain on their resources. Danny seemed to shake off her contemplative stupor.
Right. So, focus on the mushroom that you want to grow first. I'd suggest that reddish, poisonous-looking one. Got it? Okay. Now, focus on what it needs to survive. You should know all of that. Look at what it needs to grow and reproduce.
I got it! Growing and reproducing was almost its entire pattern, after all. A pattern is the intricate design that comes together in a unique way to create everything in the universe. An inanimate object has a far less complex pattern than a living being, which explained why it was easier to absorb essence from rocks than plants. Plants had really simple purposes in their life.
Great. Hold the pattern in your mind exactly as it is. Got it? Good. Now pour a bit of essence into the pattern. Try and integrate it into the flow that is moving through it. When it feels mature, make it produce and release spores into the room. When those land, you can do one of two things.
She explained thoroughly.
Either infuse the spores with essence directly and grow those with your essence, or slather that essence-rich vapor onto the area they land, which will allow them to grow naturally, but still way faster than they could otherwise. You can control how fast and where things grow by infusing different amounts of essence into the area. Don't want something to grow? Don't give it any essence. Really easy.
All right, I think I understand. First, focus on the pattern. I concentrated, and the pure essence inside me began to flow into the mushroom's pattern. The tiny stalk on the ground rippled and grew a little bit. I did it! Now, to make it get large and reproduce, I fed it a trickle of essence. Nothing seemed to happen, so I increased the flow to a steady stream.
Stop! Stop!
Ordered Danny, dismayed.
It takes a moment to change into the essence of its own type. Oh my.
It was obvious that the mushroom absorbed the essence because it began to grow at a rapid, mutated pace. I could see how much energy this took, nearly what it would produce in its own natural lifespan, and it still was not close to the amount I had given it. Continuing to grow, it suddenly shuddered and began to develop a crease in the stalk. As we watched, the crease grew, and the remaining essence began to diffuse throughout the entire plant, focusing heavily for a bit on the crease. When the essence was stable, Danny flew closer to get a better look at the finished product.
Ah!
She screamed as the plant lunged at her, the crease revealing itself as a mouth filled with sharp thorns instead of teeth. Zipping back to a safe distance, Danny stopped screaming. The mushroom exuded an air of disappointment until it settled back into its stationary state, looking just like a larger version of the others around it.
Too close. Oh my gosh, that was scary,
Danny panted. She came over to me, shivering, and continued in a brave voice.
Well, not what we were after. Congratulations! You made your first dungeon monster. There is an issue, though. It is a natural plant that gained cultivation ranks by absorbing essence, not a monster you actually created. Because of this, it will not obey you completely unless it swears loyalty to you. Since it can't make that deal as a plant, you need to drain away its essence.
But I did just make it. I looked at the plant. It was just a plant before. Now it was a monster.
You didn't, though. Do you understand it?
She prodded knowingly.
Could you make another one with the same pattern?
I refocused on the monster. I'll call it a shroomish, and tried to study it. I couldn't, for some reason. Looking at the essence in it, I tried to grab it, then to coax it away, but was met with severe resistance. It is not giving me the essence. How rude. Really, I was basically its creator. Danny grunted, a very unladylike sound.
Oh, right. As a monster, it won't just happily give you its life force. It needs to be defeated. Make a chunk of rock fall off the ceiling above it, squashing it and releasing its essence, which will then be automatically pulled to you because it is in your influence,
she verbosely directed. I'll give it a shot. Concentrating on the roof of the cave, I carved a small rock away and let it fall. The shroomish splattered with a keening sound, and the essence shot into me, far more essence than I had ever taken in one go before, as I had not drained it somewhat beforehand. The essence was entirely different than I had been expecting, a much more complex blend of earth, plant, and a cool, refreshing feeling which revealed itself to be water essence. It absorbed far easier than other essence did, but tasted rather bland to me. After the last bit had filled me, I turned my attention to the pattern of its body. It is so different, I exclaimed in surprise.
It has an entirely different pattern. How did that happen? I don't know how to do that.
I was babbling, so I tried to stop talking.
It is a natural evolution,
Danny informed me. When all I gave in return for this information was confusion, she decided to explain herself.
As you get older, you can make creatures evolve by supplying them with the energy to do so, or they can absorb items or different elements to change themselves naturally,
Danny explained, looking at the splattered remains from a careful distance.
Usually, the essence you supply would direct the changes, but since yours seems to be so pure, it must have allowed for it to become what it would have after decades of cultivating, or a natural evolution. You keep throwing me for a loop.
I haven't touched you. At least the cultivation stuff made sense.
It is a figure of speech, not a literal statement. Stay with me here. This opens up a slew of options for us that I hadn't considered.
Danny was getting excited again. Should I be nervous?
We'll get to that, but first, try to create the mob. And before you attack my verbiage, my choice of words that is, a mob, is a short way to say dungeon monster.
Why not call it a dumb? For dungeon monster? Where was she getting that abbreviation?
It just isn't.
Danny sputtered, seemingly exasperated. I looked at where the shroomish had originally been, and was startled to see the body was melting directly into the floor. It was mostly goo at this point. Must be an effect of my influence. I tried to pay attention to what Danny was telling me to do, so I began listening carefully. Danny explained that to create a mob, all I had to do was make a seed of energy infused with the pattern of the creature I wanted to make. Apparently, this would even work if I wanted to make creatures that weren't normally made from actual seeds, all the way up to the largest beasts in existence, although those big creatures would obviously take longer to mature. Or lots of essence. I focused and made the needed pattern on an essence seed, and watched as it absorbed the ambient energy in the room to quickly grow to full size. I would never know the difference between the original and the current one if it weren't for the fact that I could feel a link to the creature in my mind. I imprinted on it that it should not attack Danny, but anything else was fair game. I could feel its ascent as it ate a smaller mushroom right next to it, then moved into a near-hibernating state, waiting for any inattentive prey. Finally done with the mob creation, I returned to infusing an area with enough essence to quickly grow plants and properly made the remaining regular mushrooms put spores out onto the essence-rich stone. Following this, I resumed passively absorbing essence and trying to increase my area of influence. After roughly 10 days, I was able to fill the entire cave with a light coating of essence and had reached the entrance of the cave. 3.
Good work!
Congratulated a very bored Danny. The poor girl hadn't been able to order me around for days. I think it was wearing on her.
What you need to do now is work on concentrating the essence as densely as possible in this room, and we will expand our work from there.
What about the door? Won't it flow out?
If you focus hard there first, you can direct your will to cause the air to be too dense for less concentrated essence to leak out, like a bubble,
Danny distractedly stated. I considered this for a moment. I like bubbles. They make my puddle dance.
Huh? What? That took me by surprise,
she chuckled.
Try it out.
I worked on this for a few days as the essence in the room became denser. The mushrooms and other flora I had discovered in the room flourished. Before I knew it, the room had filled with many varieties of moss, fungus, and other low-level plants. Grass tickled my senses. The regular mushrooms were the same size as the shroomish, which had also multiplied as the original had put out spores. Because I had created the original shroomish, I still had a connection to all of the others, known as dungeon-born creatures. The monsters were well hidden in the patches and growing stronger by the day. Danny explained to me that being dungeon-born means that I did not directly create the creature, but it was given life through me. This gives the creature the ability to function autonomously, with the downside of not allowing me to take direct control of its mind. I can ride along in a dungeon-born creature's mind from any distance and experience what it does. I also may be able to influence the creature if it remains of a lower cultivation rank than myself. When I am able to create creatures that are actually intelligent, I would use them as scouts outside of my dungeon. That way, they can bring back things for me to study, or attack other things away from me. Eventually, I would need to have plenty of the dungeon-born mobs if I wanted to see beyond my boundaries. If I were to directly create every mob, I would be able to control them much better, but the downside would be that they could not ever leave my depths without dying from lack of essence. They simply cannot survive in the wild without my help.
I think that the essence has been concentrated enough for us to start to expand. We need to have you make a tunnel, which we will build another room at the end of.
Danny started babbling excitedly. Another room to grow things in? Great! How do we start?
Build your essence up on that wall and convince the wall to open small holes and absorb your influence. Fill a tunnel about 6 feet tall by 4 feet wide. When you reach a point where you want to build another room, use your power to compact the stone to either side. The stone will be much stronger than the original and will serve to guide adventurers where you want them to go. It'll also likely glow with the accumulated essence you put into it, which will look fairly spectacular, if I say so myself.
Danny directed, stopping only because she ran out of breath. Truly impressive, as she did not have lungs. I focused on the wall and made the stone become porous. Without a bubble like the entrance had, the dense essence in the cave poured into the wall like water through a sieve.
Make sure to put curves or sharp turns in that are hard to see past, Danny suggested.
On it.
I already had the basic shape I wanted in mind, but sooner than I wanted, the air had become less dense. The concentrated essence in the room had decreased through this forced osmosis until I had to push very hard to continue to move it forward. Finally, the essence had reached an equilibrium that I could not continue bringing pressure to bear upon. Nearly drained, I stopped and began to sip on the power released by my lush garden. Since I had created them, even the shroomish gladly put forth their energy for me to use. Feeling myself stabilize a bit more, I looked at the patch on the wall that glowed to my senses. I hadn't been able to move the stone, but nearly 150 feet of rock was now under my influence, my direct control. My mind easily followed the path, and I found some very interesting things I had ignored in my haste. I found a material that revealed itself as polycrystalline tungsten. It is an intrinsically brittle and hard material, and extraordinarily dense. Farther along, I found an iron ore vein, and even anthracite. Anthracite is a rare form of coal that burns hotter and longer than normal coal, and is a beautiful black color with a high sheen. I told Danny about these, and she got very excited about the possibility of having metal to tempt adventurers and miners with when they started showing up. This is also when Danny told how I could create more than just monsters. With the same process as creating them, I could create seeds of other materials, like metals and stone. This way, I could inhibit mining to a small section of myself so people didn't poke around where I didn't want them. Apparently, when people were mining, it could really grate on my nerves. She suggested that when we made a place for the mining, we stick to low-grade materials, especially at first.
We don't want to bring in people that are too strong too soon. Although dungeon cores are supposed to be a well-kept secret, high-ranked groups may know about you. You are a needed component in some of the highest-powered spells, so if they find you, they will want to take you. If you leave the dungeon, your body, it will die. Even if you somehow escape, you will need to rebuild from scratch,
Danny warned,
which is also why you cannot cut yourself off from your body. You can't just burrow down and cover yourself in stone to hide, unless you have no other option.
I reluctantly acknowledged her logic.
Makes sense, I guess.
She seemed happy that I was listening to her.
Now, why didn't you move any of the stone? Was it really hard for you to let your essence flow into the stone?
I thought about my answer.
Not particularly. I just wanted to get the most influence possible, so I pushed it as far as I could, you see. I had to stop when I ran low on essence because I don't like to worry you.
Oh.
She flushed a bit.
Well, there was a lot of essence in here. How far did you get?
I tried to calculate the exact distance. I had just thought about it a moment ago. How long was it? You know that I am terrible with distances. It felt like a really long way, though. More than 100 feet for sure.
Well, considering it took you a few weeks to run low on essence when you were pushing it, I'd be surprised if you didn't make it a really long way. I'm trying hard not to be surprised by you anymore.
She glowed cheerfully. A few weeks? Wow, I really do lose track of time. Hope you weren't too bored.
You will get faster with practice,
she responded flippantly.
I remember Cantor could change the entire layout of himself in a single night if he tried really hard. And he is a flying island, so you know that has to be difficult.
Wow! How did he learn how to fly? I wanted to fly. That sounded amazing.
Well, over time a lot of really powerful dungeon divers died or lost gear that had strong enchantments, and he learned how to make them. He made huge mana accumulator stones that he can fill, or they fill themselves, maybe? Anyway, those stones power the enchantments, and he flies with the magic.
Danny elaborated, excited to have his full attention.
He also is always trying to help new dungeons grow so he can relax every once in a while. So long as you aren't a black or white stone, of course.
Why those color stones? Is that why he helped me? So people would attack me and not him for a while? I started to get a bit heated. Was I just a way to divert attention? I don't want to be used like that.
Remember how he asked you what color you were? If you were a black or white stone, he probably would have killed you. Before you ask, that means that they can only absorb energy from celestial or infernal energy. He doesn't dislike them, but they have no way to ever grow without horrible things being done around them.
Danny stopped my attempted interruption, going into full lecturing mode.
They both, celestial and infernal cores, that is, have ways to influence sentient beings to get them food. But what usually ends up happening is a war where demons are summoned and angels are countersummoned to fight them. The stone can get really powerful with thousands of people dying around them, jumping from G rank to A in just a few days if it is smart. But usually crusades are declared to destroy them. It is really a lot of bother for everyone, so Cantor usually just kills them,
she explained. That is nice of him, I guess, I admitted reluctantly. Then I remember the point of this conversation. Will you teach me how to fly someday? It would be fun.
It's really just floating. He has to go where the wind takes him.
She attempted to dissuade me, noticing my interest in the idea. Even still, I'd like to someday, I demanded, to which she nodded and tried to distract me.
That's a really long way away. Let's focus on building your body up, shall we? The dungeon, that is. I am going to go look for plants outside that help to increase essence, or really any plants with a lot of different properties.
Isn't that dangerous? I nudged her nervously. What if someone attacks you?
Well, it is almost noon, so I should be nearly invisible in the sunlight. Thank you for being concerned about me, cutie.
Danny flirtatiously flew a few spirals around me.
Don't worry. I'll be right back.
After ensuring I wouldn't be too nervous, she flew out and away. 4. Alone for the first time in months, my cave was totally silent. Well, I could hear the plants slowly growing, but that was pretty quiet, if annoying. I figured that I may as well try and cultivate some essence, so I gently connected to all of my plants and let their energy flow to me, and connected to my newly energized tunnel and started pulling, then pushing hard. I quickly realized several things. Firstly, the tungsten and iron had much more essence to give me than regular rocks, and secondly, that anthracite had a colossal amount of essence to give, but crumbled as soon as it gave it away.
Receiving the pattern as I absorbed its essence showed me why the anthracite fell apart. Coal was made from decomposed organic matter. It was made from compressed plant essence and didn't really have its own form. When I pulled the energy, there was nowhere for it to regain the lost essence, and it would fall apart. On the positive side, it was absolutely stuffed with essence, and I was soon draining the anthracite exclusively. I had found what I assume was a relatively small vein of the dark material, but by the time I finished off the last bit of it, I was 90% full, something that would have taken months to achieve with just my trivial garden. Knowing that Danny had wanted me to make more rooms, I decided to surprise her when she got back and began compressing the stone in my influence to either side. With so much energy available to me, I was quickly able to open the passage. Now, I should say that this was not a quiet process. If you have ever ground two stones against each other, you will have a quiet and soothing version of what was transpiring at my location. Unbeknownst to me, this was usually a process that took many months at a time, in an attempt to remain hidden as long as possible. The vibrations caused by my expedited work caused problems around the mountain as landslides, rockfalls, and a distant avalanche were triggered. Just as I finished my fourth room, Danny zipped in at full speed.
Cal, are you okay? There is an earthquake happening!
Surprise! I grew!
I paused, waiting for the glowing admiration to flow from her.
Oh, Cal, no!
Danny whimpered.
We need to get ready! People are going to want to know what is going on!
Did I do something wrong? I was a bit sad that she wasn't happy with the new additions. I was just trying to show you that I could do the things you wanted.
You didn't do anything wrong, Cal. Just a little too fast for the moment. Usually you would want to create an influence around the area you were going to move and force it to absorb the vibrations of the work you are doing. That way, you remain hidden. The next time you want to grow, make sure I am around and I'll show you how to do it. For now, how about you show me what you made?
Danny released a short sigh, trying to remain positive about the situation they were sure to find themselves in. Flying through the new open space, she oohed and aahed at the work I had done. The smooth tunnel walls and the new caves full of stalactites and stalagmites that I had included for visual effect.
You made three more rooms? I didn't realize you reached all the way back here. I'm so impressed!
There was the praise I wanted. Aw, yes. I pretended to be embarrassed.
Aw, shucks. You're going to make me blush.
No, I'm serious. You are growing so well. And your knowledge must be growing too. After all the work you put in, I'm seeing you as an F-rank zero dungeon. You are almost dangerous.
She half praised, half teased.
Hey, this was a moment of shining triumph. No teasing.
How strong do I have to be dangerous?
Well,
she considered for a moment.
The average human toddler is about F rank zero, but they don't have biting mushrooms sprouting from their feet. A human adult that has never done more than just normal farm work and has no weapons is usually around an F rank four adventurer. At that level, they are derisively called fishies by people that have spent time adventuring.
What is a fish?
My unspoken thought, "Does it taste good?" nearly escaped me. I am more than just a glutton. Gotta keep telling myself that. She nodded, noting my self-control.
A fish is an animal that lives in water, which people collect to feed themselves. Usually very weak, hence the nickname fishies for new adventurers.
I see. I paused, considering.
Danny, how can I make myself more dangerous?
If she had a mouth, she would be grinning. I just know it.
We can start by making more shroomish, and you can try to evolve them or some of the others into stronger monsters. Next, we will make a few traps, like pitfalls, spike traps, or poison cloud spewers. Finally, We need to make a dungeon boss.
That all sounds great, but how do I make a dungeon boss? And am I stuck with that forever? I really have been enjoying changing things and didn't want to get slowed down due to a lack of imagination on my part.
No, actually, when you get bigger, your dungeon boss might actually become just an average mob. It is just that you need to put a large amount of your power into your boss so that it is stronger than the normal ones, because it is going to be in your room to protect you and me. Also, you can't make a monster of your level or higher, so since you are an F-rank 0, your best creature can only be of G-rank 9, and you only have the power to control one of them.
Danny clarified. She suddenly bounced in the air.
Oh, I forgot. Before we start with all of that, I have a present for you. When I was out looking for herbs, I had just found a really secluded grove at the bottom of a crevasse a few miles from here. The walls were really sheer, so it wasn't surprising that no one had been down there before. There, I found a tree in a clearing that was glowing brightly enough that it was noticeable even in the sunlight.
Danny was quivering in excitement, flying in sporadic zigzags. Her excitement was exceedingly contagious.
What? What was it?
Kel, I found a silverwood tree,
she grandly announced.
Wow! How amazing!
What is that?
Right.
She seemed to deflate a bit.
What?
Sorry, I forgot that you were still very young,
she apologized.
This tree has some of the most potent magic of any plant. It purifies the essence of those around it.
So, purifying essence isn't hard, I scoffed.
Can a wisp get headaches? Most likely no, but she seemed pained as she told me.
Cal, do you remember how shocked I was that you had removed the corruption you had pulled in while cultivating?
Yeah.
Well, most beings, which can only pull from their associated elemental essence, gain corruption slowly but surely, no matter what they do. At the higher ranks, this corruption can block people from ascending to higher cultivation ranks.
That would be terrible. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. How will the Silverwood tree help?
Well, I took a seed. A single seed from a Silverwood tree takes years for the tree to make. Also, normally, these will never grow outside of their groves, but I think that the essence you provide might become a decent substitute for what it gets from the grove. If we can grow it, we can almost guarantee that people will come from all around to be here. It may even help to keep you safe if people come for this instead of focusing on trying to get your core.
Another layer of protection would be nice.
You are the best, Danny! How can I grow it? Should I make a room for it?
She coughed.
Well, that's the thing. If we want to give this its best shot, we will need to give it the most concentrated, pure essence that you can give it. It will have to be in your essence puddle with you. It might eventually take up a lot of room, too.
Will it hurt me? Is it dangerous?
Pertinent questions.
Since it will be growing from your essence, it should act like your creatures and listen to you. But you have to be careful not to absorb it. I really doubt that you can make a dungeon-born version that would do the same as an original,
she cautioned.
Also, I don't think that we can ever get another seed.
I noticed her wince when she said this, as though she hadn't intended to mention it.
Why is that? Is it far away?
No. Well, for one thing, they really rarely make seeds. They are basically super concentrated essence that accumulate into seeds, actually similarly to how you make your dungeon seeds. The reason I don't think you can make them is that it takes S-ranked spiritual energy to duplicate the effects they offer. I don't know why. The trees are not S-ranked themselves. They have a very mysterious origin.
She was circumventing her real reason, I could tell.
What is the matter, Danny? What happened?
She slowly answered, knowing she had my attention, and I wouldn't be distracted.
It's Right after I left there, the earthquake buried the whole area. The grove is gone.
Another thing I had done wrong. Oh, sorry again. She rushed to defend me.
It's okay. You didn't know. How could you? Should we try growing it?
Go for it. All this talk is meaningless if we can't even grow it, right? Gimme. I sent her an image of me growing hands and snapping my fingers at her. Startling a laugh with that, she floated over to me and let go of a shining teardrop I hadn't noticed she'd been holding in her body. It fell slower than I felt it should have, like gravity was a thing it deigned to obey only when it so chose, and entered my puddle with only a small ripple. I tried to push essence into it, but could not get the energy to pass through the surface. With a disappointed sigh, I tried to collect the purest, most dense energy I had into an orb around the seed. Then, turning back to the other matters at hand, I quizzed Danny on how to go about making a boss monster. She hesitated.
Let's move you to the last room. Then we will talk.
I remembered how hard it had been to move myself the first time and mentally winced. I focused on my pillar and tried to start the process. To my surprise, I moved smoothly and soundlessly. Why is this so easy? I was having so much fun, I started moving faster, zipping through the tunnels in an ecstatic blur. This is so fun!
Ha ha!
She laughed, flying along behind me.
It's due to you being in your body this time. Last time you were going along uninfluenced ground outside, and you were dragging yourself along. Now, in your influence, you control all of this.
Awesome! Disappointedly reaching the final room, I slowed and put myself near the back, and with Danny directing me, I raised a small hill of stone around my pillar, leaving a hole in the exact center leading down to me and my puddle. My core better hidden and protected, I listened to Danny tell me how to make my boss.
Start by making the strongest monster you know how to,
Danny directed. Quickly forming a poisonous shroomish, I waited for further instructions.
Well, this process is pretty much the same as when you accidentally made your first monster. Basically, you just feed it more and more essence until it reaches a point of evolution where it is as strong as you can make it. At your current rank, your boss monster will become a G-rank 9 if you give it everything it can take.
Her instructions seemed lacking. Got it. That's it? Just pump it full of essence? Seems a bit anticlimactic.
I know.
She sighed at her lack of clear explanation.
Well, when you get stronger or learn more about magic or enchantments, even powerful creatures or plants, you will be able to direct the growth how you want it to go.
Well, I'll look forward to that then. I started pushing essence into the shroomish and watched as it was greedily absorbed. Watching carefully as it started changing, I continued putting in energy until I suddenly felt like a wall had popped up between my power and what had previously been a simple shroomish. It began growing at an exponential rate, the power funneling into different areas of the plant in ways I would have never expected. The process slowed down, but spiky thorns began protruding from the stalk. They dripped with poison, and the gill-like ridges under the cap were holding spores that would be released in clouds when it was fighting.
Okay, that looks cool. Can I name it?
Danny excitedly pleaded.
Sure. I'm glad, actually. I was coming up with blanks. What do you have for me?
I cheerfully responded.
How about Dire Shroom Bane?
Danny offered.
Awesome! How will people know what it is named, though? Does it matter?
Even if it were just for us, I still liked the name.
Well, cultivators can use analysis magic to study things, similar to how we can, to check a mob's information and what it can do. When they do so, it will show the name of the monster and any abilities that they know about. If they were to analyze it before it was dead, all they see is a name and its cultivation rank,
explained Danny.
That was a handy tidbit to know. You are just a fount of knowledge, aren't you? So I'm guessing that we just... leave him be?
I peered at the rustling form of Bane. Danny puffed up with pride.
Yep. And he'll only get stronger the longer he is alive. Bane is strong enough to cultivate on his own. By the way, the title Dire is applied to a really strong version of a creature. I didn't come up with that. Anyway, let's move on to the other mobs and then the traps, shall we?
Great!
Moving as fast as we could, we evolved several new creatures. One of the mushrooms with healing benefits grew barbed spikes, but on the inside. They didn't attack, but if stepped on, they would send the spike right through the top of the plant, jamming into the foot. Once there, the healing properties would kick in, sealing the spike into healthy meat. If someone tried to pull it out or step away, it would tear their flesh, creating a much larger wound. Even the moss turned into tiny grasping vines, which would snag onto any objects moving by. The barbs on them would scratch and tear at whatever they connected to, hopefully dragging prey down. While not very dangerous by themselves, if someone were to fall into the other mobs nearby, it could become very deadly. More of a support-style mob, I guess. Switching to traps, we lined the tunnels with pitfalls, very thin stone that would crumble when stepped on. When fallen through, spikes at the bottom made from quartz would penetrate the flesh and shatter, dealing even more damage and causing wounds to become infected. I also put spikes in the wall, similar to the pitfalls. If someone leaned on the wall, they would fall through and into the spikes. Rock falls in the ceiling would be triggered when people stepped on certain areas that were pressure-sensitive. On a whim, I made mushrooms grow around the base of the spikes in the pitfalls, hopefully adding a poison effect when people fell onto them. Danny sounded tired when she finally called it a night for us.
Well, I think that will do for now. I don't think there are many more things for us to do except, well, how about you do some decorating? Let's add some inlay and embellish the entryway. We are still at the bottom of a crevasse, but I think that we should start to make ourselves look good before people find us.
Danny looked around with a critical eye.
Eventually, we will make stairs down to where we are when we are really confident that you can protect yourself.
Works for me. How do you want it to look?
Making things pretty didn't matter to me so much. I'd help her decorate if she wanted, though.
However it is appealing you. Maybe some geometric patterns or loops or knots.
She trailed off into silence for a moment.
Whatever you like.
We worked out a few basic ideas, and within an hour had some basic patterns surrounding the entrance. It looked nice, and with the soft blue glow coming out the door, it would be hard to mistake the entryway for a regular cave. 5.
Well, something had to cause it, broadcasted an angry bearded man. I lost half my flock. Maybe some meteoric iron is laying around. The whole damn mountain nearly fell over.
Stop whining. We all lost part of our herd, a swarthy man walking beside the bearded one firmly demanded. You know the dangers of living in the Phantom Mountains. Death is everywhere.
This drew nods from the people around them. A small group of sheepherders were walking along a sloping mountainside, sunshine streaming around them as they searched for the source of their sudden misfortune. The grass they were walking through was waist high, and while the day was beautiful and clear, the forest around the base of the mountain range visible from this lofty vantage, the mood was ruined by the incessant yammering of the bearded man named Tim. A fresh-faced young man decided to input his thoughts.
Well, we are on a plane currently, right? Maybe when we get to higher ground we will be able to see where it hit.
Maybe you'll learn to keep your mouth shut when your betters are talking, Tim sniped nastily.
Elder, maybe, murmured the swarthy man. Better?
You've got something to say? Snarled Tim, turning aggressively on the man standing next to him.
I think it is late, and we grow hungry. The swarthy man appeased the bulky form that was Tim. Let's set up camp and return to our search in the morning. The sun will soon set as it is.
Fine, Tim grumbled. Why not just give someone else the treasure while you are at it?
Throwing down his bag, he pulled out a bedroll and lay on the ground while the others set up camp. The swarthy man eyed Tim.
Since you decided to rest while we worked, you can have the pleasure of taking first shift this evening.
Eat shit!
The swarthy man blew out some air in frustration, closing his eyes and taking a few deep breaths.
Tim, contribute or we'll leave you to search on your own.
After staring at the other man for a few moments, Tim finally conceded with poor grace.
Whatever.
After dinner, the small camp wound down. The other men talked for a while, mainly about sheep, weather, and life in their semi-nomadic village. Slowly, they fell into a light slumber, with a still angry Tim keeping guard. Walking around the campsite to stay awake, Tim kept up a low, grumbling complaint until the light had faded to darkness, in that peculiarly rapid way which seemed to happen on mountains. Shortly after twilight had faded to true darkness, Tim was making his way around camp for what must have been the 100th time, those heartless bastards, when he saw a soft gathering of light emanating from the edge of the plain they were sleeping on.
Moving to examine it, he found light flowing from a crevasse just past an unmarked grave that seemed to give off an unnatural chill.
Well, would you look at that?
His eyes were gleaming with the light of greed.
Looks like I found me some treasure.
He set about searching for a way to the bottom, but the sides were simply too sheer for him to scale. With mounting disappointment and a realization that he was going to have to wake up the others and share his find, he returned to the group and roused them from their slumbers with kicks and curses. Furiously, they started yelling at him, but quickly calmed when he pointed out the glow. Anger turning to excitement, the group moved toward the hole in the ground and looked for a safe way down, but with frustration decided they would need to wait till morning if they wanted to survive the descent. Hours later, when the sun achieved its lofty placement on the horizon known as dawn, the men reeled out the rope ladders that Highlanders always brought into new areas. Slipping the ladders down the side, they found that after only 30 feet or so, they reached the ground once more. Securing the ladders as best as they could, which was very well, they started their own descent. One by one, they got to the bottom, the first down trying hard to hold his enthusiasm in check as he waited for the rest. A total of 5 men stood before the cave entrance and deliberated about what to do.
What is it?
You think it is a beast lair?
Don't be foolish. They would never make that kind of art around the edges. It's some old city ruins.
Well, began the fresh-faced young man excitedly, do you think it might be a dungeon? Turning to face him, Tim condescendingly talked down to him.
No, you moron. You think we would be the first to find a dungeon? The Adventurers Guild pays a huge amount of money to scouts who find them. How could they miss this? It frickin' glows! Keep your mouth shut when your betters are talking!
Looks like the best way to find out what it is would be to enter it, don't you think? The swarthy man supposed.
Looks like.
The group walked through the entryway, noting the abundance of mushrooms immediately.
Are those red caps?
Those are good eating. Never seen them so big before.
Careful not to mix them with those white ones. They are poisonous, I think. I know the medicine man wanted some to make an antidote a few years back.
Do you feel that? Prompted the young man. Tim growled, rounding on him.
What now?
The air. It is so clean. I feel healthier than I have in years.
Me too. The ache in my bum knee is fading fast, too.
My shoulder feels nice.
Hey, look, even Tim doesn't look like such a sourpuss.
The men laughing at his expense, of course, had the sneer right back on his face, and Tim's glare shot daggers at the young man, like it was the young man's fault the group was laughing at him. They decided to explore the cave a bit more, as it seemed well lit, and to collect some shrooms on the way out. By chance, they walked past each of the mobs without rousing any of them, and had gone through the tunnel far enough that the second room was visible before tragedy struck.
"Ah!"
screamed one of the men as his foot went directly through the floor. He fell forward, his body vanishing for only a few moments before a wet crunch and a whimper floated up from below.
"Are you all right?
Can you hear us?"
"Where are you?"
The men clustered around the hole in the floor, trying to establish contact with their fallen comrade. They lit a torch and held it over the opening in time to see and smell their friend void his bowels in his death throes.
"Disgusting,"
Tim sneered. Shocked looks were thrown his way as the remaining men discussed what to do. The words, "heartless asshole," were heard a few times as well. They had very little extra rope and no way to lift him from the crevasse. The decision was made that they would need to come back with rope the next day to lift him from his resting place after informing any family he might have. They turned to leave when Tim's voice reminded them that they were here for a reason.
"You can all turn and run from a weak floor if you like, but I'm going nowhere empty-handed. If you leave, you forfeit any right to your share, I tell you right now," Tim announced firmly.
These were practical men, and life was hard in the mountains. While they were shocked at the death, they knew Tim was right. Each of them hardening their hearts, they moved more carefully, unknowingly following Tim deeper into terrible danger. Death was everywhere in the Phantom Mountains. Tim moved carefully, testing the floor with each step, hand against the wall for balance. Once, the floor crumbled, and the men laughed with nervous tension as Tim yelped and jumped back. Making their way into the second room, they saw it was similar to the first, filled with mushrooms and other plant life.
"Well, would you look at that?"
the swarthy man breathed. He held up his torch, the light reflecting off something on the wall.
"Well, men, I'd say we are going to become very rich. Unless I miss my guess, that is native iron. We're looking at the future site of an iron mine."
With exclamations of joy, the other men whooped and shouted. This wasn't for nothing. Their livelihoods were saved, and they were going to become rich, influential men. Hearts much lighter, they followed Tim deeper in, almost throwing caution to the wind. This time, the swarthy man took the lead, testing the floor, keeping balance against the wall, and saved them twice when the floor gave way and when a large rock suddenly fell from the ceiling. Entering the third room, they saw no metals, so went directly toward the adjacent tunnel. One of the men lost his boot when it got stuck in a clump of weeds and moss that must have hidden a hole. Testing their weight each step, they made it through the last tunnel without any major issues.
"What in the world is that?"
"What?"
"It's a big-ass mushroom. Look at the size of that thing. It must come up to my hip."
"I don't see any more metal, but at least we're gonna eat well tonight."
The fourth man laughingly walked toward the giant capped mushroom, intent on carving off a sizable chunk, when the young man gave an exclamation of horror.
"What?"
Turning toward them, the man next to the mushroom never saw the mouth that closed around his torso, ripping him in half with a single bite. Jumping back in terror saved the young man from the thorn that shot from the stalk of the mushroom, which instead embedded in the wall with a twang. Immediately shouting and vacating the room, they peeked back in to see if it were able to chase them. A glance at its stationary position convinced them that it wouldn't follow, and a thorn the size of a hand whistling past his ear convinced the swarthy man that it was time to leave.
The room was also becoming very bright, which they took to mean bad things were about to happen. The remaining three moved quickly down the tunnels, retracing their steps, and were in the second tunnel when a puff of something was inhaled by the swarthy man, reducing him to a coughing mess. Blinded by the tears streaming from his eyes, something caught his foot as they were crossing the second room. The young man looked back to check on the swarthy man just as his head fell onto a light yellow mushroom and a spike suddenly protruded from the back of his head with an organic, tearing sound. Knowing that the fallen group member was already dead, the young man sped up to get behind Tim, who was leaving him behind without a glance. They raced to the entrance to the first room and stopped, breathing heavily as they tried to make their minds stop spinning from the trauma they had witnessed.
This is for sure a dungeon, Tim rasped, half laughing, half gasping. I'm going to be so rich.
The young man's head snapped up at Tim's comment.
What? What about me?
Shaking his head, Tim angrily turned away from the lad and viewed the room.
Boy, do I have to tell you again to shut your mouth when your betters is talking? Do you even understand how much this is going to change my life? What would you be going to do with the money anyway? Better to let me take care of this, you stupid.
With fire in his eyes, the young man watched the mushrooms devour the man he had just shoved into them.
You were never my better, just older than me. Much older. Also, my name is Dale, you jerk.
He left the cave and started home quickly, preparing to become a very, very rich man. 6. I watched with great excitement as the first explorers walked into my depths. I watched them stop and was horrified for a moment when I thought they were about to turn back. Then, they turned and walked right into the garden. Each step was almost close enough for attack, but they somehow didn't ever quite move within reach. A man stepping quickly never even saw a shroomish miss its bite at an ankle. My disappointment kept ramping up as each trap was just walked around. Not one plant got an attack off. No traps were working. Until suddenly, one did. A man shrieked and fell onto the spikes. The others exploded into motion, trying to see what had happened to him. When they lit a torch, somehow they missed seeing the reflective spikes in their haste to find a way to save the man. Suddenly, their concerns didn't matter to me anymore. The dead man's essence blasted into me, more varied and elaborate than any I had ever had the pleasure of enjoying before. The power was so vast that it was simply impossible for me to contain it. The essence of fire, water, air, earth, celestial, and infernal, all of the basic essences were pouring into me and processing themselves, releasing raw, unstable, pure essence into my core and the world around me as it overflowed. Danny tried to help.
Cal, try and collect it in a shell around you. Make a larger body for yourself.
Through the pain of my vibrating body, I listened to her words, forming perfect facets of pure energy around me. Nearly doubling in size, my new body had barely solidified into a perfect, comparatively empty gem when I felt the second man die. His life force flamed into me, filling my newly improved core to the brim with energy. I was able to look out into my dungeon and see Bane chewing on something when the third rush filled my core. I tried to solidify the outpouring energy into a larger crystalline system, but it wasn't working.
Danny, what do I do?
I screamed, the pain making my vision strobe.
Push it out! Release the essence out into your body! The dungeon!
Danny shouted back. Nearly smacking myself for not thinking of it, I sprayed the condensed essence out of me, allowing it to accumulate in the air as my vaporous, essence-rich influence.
They made it to the entrance. You should be okay, Cal, Danny
stated with obvious relief. I felt the fourth man die at that moment, and as the essence ripped through me, I focused on pushing the overflow out as hard as possible. The thick energy already pouring out of me condensed further, forming a beam that shot directly upward and out of me. The beam continued for several seconds until returning to a more mist